Hello, everybody. It is December 21st, Tuesday, 1:17 p.m., and it's kind of a weird time to do a podcast, but that will do. Marcus is here with me, and we're not really sure because Marcus is muted, and I don't know how to unmute him, so we'll have to stay tuned. Ask to unmute? Is that how you do it? I don't know, but we're going to be talking about the 49ers today.
What up, Niner? What is up, Niner Nation? Bang, bang, Niner gang, E40. What is good, everybody? We are up here. We are staying motivated. It is day two of the Marcus Fest, where we go all week making podcasts nonstop. I can do this for about one more day before I go on the fantastic trip of Christmas to my mother's house, and then me and Luke will meet up. So everybody, I hope you all are doing well. So we've learned something over the past month. A majority of the fans are Niners fans. Yeah. So how about we give them what they want? We will go through every single week dissecting what went down on the team and form a total summary about how we feel about the team and them going forward into the playoff run. Yes. So, Luke, do you have any introductions to how you feel about this Niners team initially now?
Well, if you all may not know already, I watch every single 49ers game. I have my sheets up in the bedroom. I'm not going to take you there. That's where the magic happens. But right there, we keep the little sheets that I keep track of. So I know these 49ers pretty well. I'm not sure. Marcus does not watch all the games, but he knows quite a bit about football. Probably knows more football than me, because I only know like a couple teams. I only know the Lions and 49ers pretty much. He knows all the teams. So we'll talk about the 49ers, their playoff chances, how they've been doing this season. We haven't really done... Last year, I was doing those 49ers podcasts, after like the game recaps after every single game. That was when I didn't really have school or anything, but... Now I kind of do need to go to school. So this is the first time talking about the 49ers solely. So, Marcus, would you like to get into it?
Well, initially, what I think about the Niners team is that this Niners team, they really had to get something started early in the season to really prove that they were still trying to make a run for the Super Bowl after a very devastating last season, as we all know, Luke. Because here's the thing about the Niners. There's always that something goes wrong with them. Like, for last season, right? Everyone thought they were going to make another push, and that ended up not happening. They really had a devastating season last season because, you could say the injuries. They had one of the most injuries in NFL history. Yeah. So now this season, everybody was kind of sleeping on the Niners going into the season, and they expected them to go at best maybe 7-10. Yeah. So you would expect the Niners to really focus on that run-heavy game, but that kind of switched up this season because Deebo Samuel really played a big part into this game. He can run the ball. He got 39 attempts and has over 200 rushing yards. And, like, I just want to leave a little tip. He has more rushing yards and less attempts than running backs like J.D. McKissic, Chris Carson, Kenneth Gainwell, and Wayne Gallman. All of them have plus 40 attempts rushing, and yet Deebo Samuel has more yards and more touchdowns than them. That's a little embarrassing for running backs like them. But Deebo has just been off the hooks this season. He's been getting, he's looking like a 1,000-plus yard season. He's catching the ball. He's proving himself why he took advantage in this time without George Kittle or without most of his threats like Mohamed Sanu, Mike McGlinchey, and some more. So this season, they still are bombarded with injuries. Luke, can you tell us what injuries we've missed out on before we go back in time, really?
Well, we've had Raheem Mostert go down with who had an ACL or some various leg injury. Emmanuel Mosley go down. And then you had Jason Verrett go down in week one after last year's year. If there was a Pro Bowl last year, then he probably would have made it. He was probably going to be the comeback player of the year, but then I forget who it was that won it. But he got injured in week one against my Detroit Lions. They've had Jimmy Garoppolo missed the game. He missed against the Cardinals. You had Trey Lance start, and he looked pretty good, but Trey Lance just hasn't really played that much. I mean, he was the third overall pick. George Kittle missed three games. He was put on IR briefly. Azeez Alshire, Dre Greenlaw, they've all missed time. Even Fred Warner missed a game, and Elijah Mitchell has also gone out after with he's had concussion, leg injuries, thumb injuries. He's been banged up all year. So yeah, the 49ers have dealt with injuries, but not as severe as last year when you had guys like, I don't know. Oh, thank you. The visitor in the back is making some rumblings. You had guys like Raheem Mostert. He only played in 8 games. You had guys like Austin Walter, Dante Pettis, Jordan Reed, making Tevin Coleman making big contributions to this team. So the 49ers are lucky that they're in a division that they can compete in. Last year, no one was really that good in the NFC West. The Seahawks were okay. But the 49ers this year, I think they're looking like they're probably making the playoffs. They're the sixth seed right now, and they have the tiebreaker over pretty much all the other teams that they're competing with, the Vikings, Saints, or Washington, the Eagles, pretty much everyone there.
Well,
So
Luke, let's really go back in time to really how they became where they're at right now, how they got the tiebreakers over. So like each week they've proven more of themselves. So week one, they went against Luke's Detroit Lions, who, as we know, are making the biggest comeback in history of the NFL, as
Oh, yeah.
they've won two games against two of the top
Major
competing
key to
teams right now.
success.
So the final score is 41-33. And
The Lions nearly won that game,
Yeah,
actually.
well, what we learned from that game was the secondary, for once, is not that good. They let Jared Goff score two straight touchdowns in a matter of 5 minutes and have th 338 yards and three touchdowns on 38 completions. So the Niners defense already coming to this game was looking like they weren't totally all there. But we kind of got a glimpse at what their defense was going to look like playing a pattern with Nick Bosa getting four tackles and then Fred Warner getting seven. So they have been playing a reoccurring theme into the defensive line this year. But on the secondary side, you were just giving up stupid plays. You were letting people like Khalif Raymond get those huge chunkage yards to put them in good position, and then you had T.J. Hockenson just catching the touchdowns every chance he got. So that was the defensive side, and then on the offensive side, we finally got to see Trey Lance and how we are going to utilize him this year.
Played
Now
four
Lance,
snaps. He threw the first touchdown of the season for the
he did
49ers
throw a first touchdown of the
to
season,
Trent
Trent
Sherfield. Wow,
Sherfield.
wow,
Yep.
wow.
So Trey Lance, people would think you were going to use him more, and I think personally, I think the Niners should have. But now, since they're competing, it's not really good to throw in a rookie into the wolves just yet, especially since the Niners need wins at this point. But Trey Lance was good to use at the beginning of the year, as he proven that he's versatile. He can complete the passes down the field, and he could really get into the end zone using creative ways. So Jimmy Garoppolo, though, I think there were some times where he made silly mistakes, like on third downs, he would just throw it into the grass, or he would never look down the field more, but throughout the game, he's just amazing. Debo Samuel had 189 yards on one touchdown. We were already getting a glimpse of what the speedster, the dual threat, could do. He could use like his fast speed to get him across the field, and then his huge big body to really take down the defenders. And then George Kittle, he's always been known as the consistent man. So here's the twist on week one, though. You'd expect Raheem Mostert to do something. No, he got injured, I'm pretty sure, this game. It was
Yeah, that was the
week
game.
one. Yep, that was the game.
He played four snaps, 2 carries for 20 yards, and then his season was over.
Yep, and then Elijah Mitchell came in on 19 rushes. He got 104 yards and a touchdown. So you would think that was just like a sham game, but now he's up there for one of the most rushing yards. He has 769, I believe. I think it's
Oh yeah.
769.
A little tip for you all.
Oh, a little tip. Luke is just laughing. Luke is feeling a little silly today. I don't even know what to think of this. But yeah, I believe that Elijah Mitchell to this day is gonna go down as the top 15 running back. I know that's a huge statement, but he's really showing himself as an explosive running back these past few weeks, this whole season. So week one, you kind of got a glimpse of that offensive side more exploding, and the defense kind of showing the weaknesses. Luke, can you walk us through week two against the Eagles team that was just low scoring, but could you expect more from any of the players on the team.
I'm having some technical
Hey,
difficulties over here.
Luke's having technical difficulties, so.
So, Marcus, would you mind speaking? I've rolled over my phone charger and it's not working.
Yeah. So, week two, you really got to see what happens when there isn't the offensive side totally there. You got to see more of the defensive side as you
Ouch.
got to really get a glimpse into what happens when you get a lot of the secondary involved. So Josh Norman, Jimmy Ward, and is it
DeAndre Lenore.
Jaquaski Tart? They all got pass deflections. And then you had Nick Bosa with the forced fumble. So all day long you got Jalen Hurts under the pocket in pressure. He only completed 12. 12. In the whole four quarters of play, he only completed 12, and then he fumbled once. So that's what the Niners get to do when they really get to vamp up that secondary. Then you get Nick Bosa more involved on the defensive side, get him under pressure. And then Fred Warner still getting 5+ tackles a game. That's still going to get you wins on the board. Now, here's the part where you get to see what happens when the Niners don't have their run defense totally there. Elijah Mitchell only had 42 yards. And then you had Jamichael Hasty only have 38.
Trey
And
Sermon
then,
played this game, I believe, and that was like the game that he got like concussed on.
one rush for 8 yards. So then when this is what happened with the Niners, and it's a reoccurring theme for the last three seasons, I believe. When their run game is not there, they're not putting up the points that they usually would be. They only dropped 17 points this game. I think it was almost a season low. I'm pretty sure it was the season low. It was the season
Yes, it
low.
was.
Wow. So Luke comes screaming in. So this game you learn that the run game, when it's not totally there, the Niners cannot totally be there on the offensive side. But the
It was
defense.
tied for the season low with week 7 against Arizona.
Yeah. So Luke, how about we like skip through some weeks here? Go to the Green Bay game. Now, this was their first loss of the
Go,
season.
Pack, go.
You really got to see what happens when you're going against a tough divisional team and without Elijah Mitchell. So,
Oh,
Luke,
yeah.
walk us through this one.
Oh, yeah, this game was the game that they just left too much time for Aaron Rodgers. It was the game that Trey Lance ran, got the rushing touchdown on Sunday Night Football. Trent Williams with that pancake block on whoever it was to lead the touchdown. But the 49ers, they scored on a Kyle Juszczyk 12-yard touchdown with 43 seconds left to make it to give them the lead by 28 to 27. And then that just left 43 seconds for Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the best to do it. Completed passes to Devontae Adams for 25 and 17 yards. And that was plenty in range for Mason Crosby to hit a 51-yard field goal to win the game for the Packers. And that was kind of the time when the 49ers show that they are not that great yet, that they still have holes, and that playing against the Detroit Lions and Philadelphia Eagles were bad at the time. That wins against those two teams, the Lions and Eagles, they're not really that impressive. So the Packers, they got their win. They went to 2-1. 49ers fell to 2-1. Heading into week 4 against the Seattle Seahawks, my Seattle Seahawks, if you would like to say that. This was a game that Trey Lance came in the second half. Jimmy Garoppolo left the game, and Trey Sermon got the start. 19 carries, 89 yards. You had guys like Jaquez Patrick, number 35 on his back, number one in your heart. He was getting carries too. This game was pretty wild. It was the 49ers trying to come back. They were left with a injured Robbie Gould, so Mitch Wishnowski had to be the kicker for a bit, and he missed an extra point, which was kind of key because it would have made it 21-14, so it was 21-13, so kind of left the 49ers out to dry. Debo Samuel caught that 76-yard touchdown pass. Everyone was freaking out, and Marcus knows quite a bit about this, but they were sharing the meat, and the Trenton Cannon, that fumbled kickoff, that was kind of the game that people knew that the 49ers special teams were in for some trouble. So Marcus, would you like to talk about the week 5 game? This was Trey Lance's only start of the season. Wait, no, that wasn't the lowest scoring game. The lowest scoring game was week with this game when the 49ers lost 17-10. So Marcus, would you like to speak on this game?
Okay, so this is when we finally learned that Trey Lance is not the really rookie you want to go with. especially in his rookie year. You kind of want to play him out, use him in different ways. And I think Kyle Shanahan did that this game with running him 16 times. I just think on the flip side, Trey Lance just did not really get to look down the field as much as we felt the time was given to him in the pocket a lot. And although you did have Deebo Samuel and you did have Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk was one of the top receiving receivers with 4 targets and 3 receptions for 35 yards. And that's how you know you lost a game, when a fullback is almost leading your wide receiver's half with 35 yards. So Trey Lance, I feel like that game was not fully on himself because, you know, he's a rookie. You're going against a Cardinals team that started off hot. They got 6 straight wins, Luke. Am I right? It was like 6 or 7 straight wins. And Luke is nodding his head. Yeah, because when you have DeAndre Hopkins who goes for 87 yards on 6 receptions for a touchdown, and then you have James Conner who got that huge rushing touchdown in to like kind of ice that game out, you kind of understand that the Niners defense were just they cannot compete with a team that's perfectly balanced. Like you have a team that had Josh Norman, and then you have Jarkavius Tart or something. What is his name, Luke?
It's Jaquaski Tart,
yes, sorry.
You heard me.
Those type of players cannot be on DeAndre Hopkins because when he's bringing his guys like Josh Norman and Tart, they cannot fully commit on DeAndre Hopkins. So that kind of paid off the whole game. And then inside on the defensive end, when you see that Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are still getting the tackles, then you know something must be wrong. And that was because the other defense. Eric Armstead had 0 tackles that game. Then you had Catavius Street with 0. And then you had Azeez Al-Shahar. He only had 1 tackle, and he's been one of the leading defensive players. Yeah, he's been one of the leading tackles this season for the Niners. So that's one half of the field. Then you go on the offensive side. Deebo Samuel only catching 9 receptions. I'm only catching 3 receptions out of the 9 targets. That was one of his lows for himself that game. So 10-17, you kind of learn that the Niners as a team, they cannot function when both sides of the ball are not playing their best. And that goes for any NFL team. When you have a young rookie quarterback, you expect for the veterans to show up. You expect Deebo Samuel. You expect Elijah Mitchell, who's been hot, to show up. And they didn't really show up that game. And that can also lean towards the defensive side when the cornerbacks were not fully on Hopkins. And when those jump balls for Hopkins aren't being deflected, you know it's going to be caught 100% of the time. So that's the reason why you could really explain why the Niners lost that game. And that was a heart-wrenching loss. Everyone thought Trey Lance did pretty good. He ran the ball up the field. I think he did a little too much, though. So week 6 was a bye week. Week 7, they got smashed by the Colts. And this one's pretty self-explanatory. I can explain this one, Luke. You're going against the Colts team, one of the best defenses in the NFL. You have DeForest Buckner, Xavier Woods. You have Kenny Moore, Pro Bowler. He's definitely going to be a Pro Bowler. He's unlocked. He was doing everything for that team that game. And then you have Darius Leonard. Darius Leonard is just a beast. He's an assist beast. He got 5 assist tackles, 2 solo tackles. You cannot stop him. He just goes straight up for the gut all the time. He takes down the guys and he penetrates through the hole to take down the quarterback. And that's the reoccurring thing for the Colts this season. Like, if you cannot stop that defensive side, there's no way you're going to stop Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner from running down and taking down the quarterback. And then you look at this. Jonathan Taylor got 100 yards.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa and Fred Warner were usually stopping the run all season. But this season was this game was one of their worst. They could not take down Jonathan Taylor. He had many plays where he found many holes and just ran through them for the big yardage.
Oh, yeah.
So that was possibly one of the worst. And then the worst part was their secondary again. They allowed Pittman to grab all 4 targets for 105 yards.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the perfect and most yardage they've allowed all season.
Yeah. The 4 yards hate being run through. This was the game that was in the soupy mud, all unpleasant, all bad. No one liked that. And Michael Pittman, this was the game that he mossed Dre Kirkpatrick for 28 yards. 49ers had a tough game. There was that pick by Mr. Gucci Garopp, that pretty much ended the game with 2 minutes left. It was it was a sad day for the 49ers. DeForest Buckner at least returned to his former stomping grounds. The next game on Halloween, how about that, against the Chicago Bears. Marcus, would you like to speak on this game? The Bears, they get the 49ers got the win 33-22. The Bears at the time were not known to be as trash a team as they are now.
Well, when Justin Fields running for 100 yards and throwing for a buck 75, you would think that the Bears would win this game. Because when you have your quarterback just going off for 100 yards, then you'd expect them to pull out the win. But this one was another self-explanatory game. Allen Robinson this year has pretty much snubbed the Bears. They pay him a ton of money just for him to catch not even a game over 10 receptions as he would in past seasons, just go off for his team. So their throwing game was just absolutely batted down this game. And I think that was one of the best defensive games by the Niners this game, actually. It was 22, but Josh Norman had two forced fumbles. Absolutely monster game. And then you had all defensive linemen getting at least one tackle. And that's just what you want to see out of all what you want to see out of your defense. You want to see them all committing in, getting that tackle and taking them down. That was a beautiful game for the Niners. And then Elijah Mitchell getting what, his third game so far with a hundred over 100 yards. Just beautiful. And then Debo Samuel dropping another 100 yards with six receptions and doing all this without
Kittle.
Didn't
he get that? Wasn't it that the game that he caught that like 82-yard catch right before?
83-yard catch, yeah. Whoa. He would have scored, but I'm pretty sure he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, there was also that catch right before halftime where Mr. Garopp threw the ball just deep up in the air. Debo Samuel ran underneath it with 2 minutes in the second quarter with 25 seconds left. And the 49ers were at the 46 at the time. They got all the way down to the 4. And we're able to get a field goal right before halftime. That was a lovely play.
And
made,
I wanna,
made me very happy inside.
I want to drop a little thing in here. Ooh. Right now, Kyle Shanahan, I've seen this as a reoccurring theme. Every time he gets a quarterback running into the end zone, you appear to get most of the game-winning games. When you have the quarterback running in at the 2-yard line or Jimmy Garoppolo leaning his helmet in, you get those points on the board. You prove that your quarterback's being aggressive. Jimmy Garoppolo's fighting for his job right now. I still believe he's still fighting for his job because I do not consider him a good quarterback. I don't. I just think his supporting I think his supporting cast is better than who he is as a quarterback. I think Debo Samuel catching for over 100 yards, and that's basically on his foot. His run after carry is one of the most in the NFL. You have George Kittle who catches the ball. His run after catch is, I think, most over tight ends right now. So you're looking at a team that just supports Jimmy Garoppolo. You have Elijah Mitchell, runs for 18 times 100 yards. This game teaches you that Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's not using his feet, you cannot rely on his arm. So I think Week 9 was the worst game for the Niners. This was when they absolutely fell apart. This was when you could really learn that their defense, their run defense, is just not going to help them out this
season.
They
played against Colt McCoy and
you went against
Eno
Colt
Benjamin
McCoy
and Antoine Wesley.
You let Christian Kirk throw for 100%. Christian Kirk, he threw a 33-yard bomb. Absolutely beautiful. Ooh. Who was that to? I'm pretty sure it was like a fourth string. And Tony Wesley, the man. Antoine Wesley, excuse me. And then Zach Ertz, I think that was one of his first games. He did amazing. And then here's when they fell down. James Conner, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. Then on the catch, 5 receptions, 5, yeah, and then 77 yards and a catch on the touchdown. So Niners, they could just not stop that guy in the backfield. And I think that's what they learned from that game. You really have to surround. You really have to contain where that running game is because they allowed so many running backs this year to just go up the gaps. And that's not what you want to do. I think really the next following week when they played, they really just learned to kind of pinch together more around let the secondary really come in on the outside runs rather than the inside. Because on the inside, if they pinch together, they can really focus on putting in like no gaps through the middle because most of their big chunk yards were through the middle. So I think the next week, the defensive tackle were really just kind of squishing in the middle because there was no gaps. And then on the round side, the secondary is really coming towards to stop. So I think this game was just bad all around. Besides maybe the passing game was not bad towards the end. The Niners were really trying there. George Kittle went for over 100 yards and a touchdown on his game back. And then Brandon Ayuk finally did something. He was the Debo Samuel last year. He was the one dropping 100 yards, getting touchdowns. This week he did really good. 89 yards, a touchdown over 6 receptions. So then That run game, right when the Niners finally focused how to stop the run, the following week they did amazing. They only held Darnell Henderson to 31 yards.
Yeah.
31.
Their D really came to play this week. Jimmy Ward with a 27-yard interception return. Deebo Samuel caught a 40-yard touchdown pass. Great game for the D. The D was good. This game also was proved to be. This was Odell Beckham's first game as a member of the Rams. He and Lil Wayne, he and I love not to wear pants. So the 49ers were proved that they have something up their sleeves. They show that they can shut down a team that looked like they hadn't good offense already in the Rams, and they just happened to get better. And the 49ers just showed up and they proved that they don't care about that. They shut it down right away. And they won the game 31-10. Wow. That was the Rams' first game where they looked like they were completely out of it. This was also the stretch of three consecutive losses, the second game after a loss against the Tennessee Titans. It was very sad for them. They w went into the bye and then they came back out and they lost to the Packers. Now they're trying to get back on track, and we might try to preview this at the end, but the Rams do play the 49ers in week 18. That could be a very meaningful game. Next game was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's not really much to say about this game because this game sucked. It was the 49ers just beat up on the Jaguars all day, all night. They were up 30-3. This game was over at halftime. They were up 20-3 at halftime. You had Brandon Ayuk catching a touchdown. Deebo Samuel. This was the first game that Deebo Samuel started being used exclusively as a running back. He was used out of the backfield. Let me see. What were his rushing? Or it's so hard to find rushing stats on here. He had 8 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. Then he also caught one pass for 15 yards. So a very good game for the 49ers all the way around. Their defense came to play. They did not allow a touchdown until 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So really, pretty much, they get 3 points. And it was a solid win. 49ers proved that they're not here to play around. The week after, though, was a very good game. And Marcus, I'll let you talk about this one. The 49ers play the Minnesota Vikings this week. That week in week 11, or week 12, excuse me, and they beat them 34-26.
That was
Minnesota!
my nomination for one of the best games we played.
Ooh.
You had a team that had Justin Jefferson, in my opinion. He's top five in the league. Top five catching in the league. You had Dalvin Cook, who had that terrifying injury. Yeah, that was really late in the game.
Carted
He
off the field,
fumbled,
yeah.
carted off the field in a moment where they really needed him. Besides that, the Niners held up. They held Dalvin Cook to 0 touchdowns, Justin Jefferson to 0 touchdowns, Adam Thielen to 2 touchdowns, but only 62 yards. They stopped him really well that game. The Niners, I think, really forced together to really put Kirk Cousins in positions he didn't want to be in. Like, in that last-minute drive, you really felt you could really see how panicked he was, and I think that was the reason why they got the stop against him.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel with a 49-yard run. That was fun.
After that incomplete to Tyler Conklin in the end zone, you could really tell Kirk Cousins was under a lot of stress, and he started throwing stuff he shouldn't be throwing, really. I think I blame it on the Vikings coaching too. Mike Zimmer, he just made stupid plays all game. He was calling for just crazy routes, and I think the secondary played amazing. Josh Norman, a forced fumble again. Then you had Kevin Givens getting a forced fumble. You just had everybody on it. You had Aziz finally getting 7 tackles. You had unknown faces stepping up, well, faces who haven't been. You had Samson Ebukam. I don't know if you guys remember him, but against the Rams, against the Chiefs, one of the most historic games, one of the most high-scoring games, actually, on Monday Night Football.
In
Remember this, Luke?
2018, oh yeah.
In
One of my favorite
2018,
games,
yeah.
yes.
One of my favorite games, too. Samson Ebukam went just off.
Yeah, didn't he score 2 touchdowns a game?
He
He got a
scored two
pick six and
touchdowns,
a
two
fumble return
defensive
touchdown.
touchdowns. He got like 3 sacks, a pick, a forced fumble, 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah.
He was just everywhere that game. And I'm surprised the Niners even got him. I was actually excited for them because he's a great player. I really like him. So you had people stepping up, and I think that was just what you wanted to see from the Niners. When the defensive line steps up, the offense also wants to step up. The offense, I think, didn't really step up on the yardage side, but I think when it came down to scoring, they were there. Deebo Samuel had that 49-yard rushing touchdown. Elijah Mitchell went over 100 yards yet again, scoring a touchdown. You had Deebo going for 2 touchdowns, excuse me, two, like 2 rushing touchdowns for a running back. They utilized him in the most perfect way to take down that tough Vikings defensive line. Having Deebo go on the jet sweep was just amazing because then he could just take off, split through that secondary, and get that touchdown. And I think that really showed on his 49-yard touchdown.
The Vikings did give the 49ers quite a bit of a fright with about 4 minutes left when they got that kickoff return touchdown Keen Nwangwu, the 99-yard touchdown. They went for two, though. They didn't get the two-point conversion. That kind of ended the game by then. And then they won 34-26. They then headed into the game against my Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks. Whoa.
Whoa. This game was
Niners,
a tough one.
This is like what you can really tell. In like crunch time, they can really not pull forwards.
Yeah, they can't
like,
really.
Like, they can't. That's where Jimmy Garoppolo is going to fall apart, and that's what he did in the Super Bowl. Mm. Jimmy Garoppolo, at the 3-yard line, he got stopped. Like,
yeah. You stupid can't, throw.
Don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback who can really lead you to the win when it's in clutch time. He's one of the worst at it too, mm-hmm. besides Daniel Jones, because Daniel Jones is choked at. Get this, out of 5 of our 6 games this year, Daniel Jones is choked in 2 minutes. So Jimmy Garoppolo, at the 3-yard line, they decided to run it first with 32 seconds yet at the 4. They decided to run it, and then he started throwing it in the back of the end zone like there was no tomorrow. So that was one reason that I just don't think the Niners are good. I cannot trust Jimmy Garoppolo. I really think he's more of a mascot than a player himself.
At the same time, their special teams also was ferocious this game. They gave up that 73-yard fake punt run, and then on the opening kickoff the second half kickoff, 49ers were getting the ball. They fumbled the kickoff, and the Seahawks recovered. So pretty much the Seahawks got the ball in the first and second half because.
And the Niners had 3 turnovers. And their third down efficiency was horrendous. They were 30% on third down efficiency. No, like, what are you doing, Niners?
And then their punts were trash, too. Mitch Wishnowsky with like a 30-yard punt at one point. This is also the game that Adrian Peterson showed up. And Adrian Peterson, his old cheeks, he scored a touchdown. That's not right. That should not be happening.
Yeah. And then Tyler Lockett, someone who was quiet all year long, he decided to do something. He got a 16-yard touchdown. He had 68 yards on the throw. Russell Wilson finally stepped up, I think, one of his weeks after his injury. Travis Homer scored a 73-yard. That was a punt return, right? Yeah, or was that a run?
That was a fake punt.
That was a fake punt. Yeah, so you just had all the Seattle Seahawks team just getting on you, and the Niners couldn't do anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
Elijah Mitchell was the only one who really, like, did something. And then George Kittle just sparked up. He was the only one on the throwing side that did amazing. I think Debo was out.
9 catches? Yeah.
Yeah, 9 catches, 181 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But when you're Jimmy Garoppolo and you're only throwing to one guy, they're going to learn how to stop him over time. Yes, he had 9 receptions, but later in the game, they learned how to stop him, and then Jimmy Garoppolo started throwing stupidly to Trent Sherfield, and he started throwing stupidly to Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. So when you're this Niners team, you really got to look for the other options, and I liked how they did that with Eli Mitchell. I liked how they started using Debo Samuel, but you got to learn new ways. You got to use your men. You got to use Trent Sherfield. I think Juwan Jennings is a star. He caught a nice touchdown against against Atlanta just last week. Just last week. So if they use that more, if they utilize on the offensive side, they can really get more points on the board, and especially at the 4-yard line. If you had someone to kind of run a trick play, because that secondary in the end zone, Seattle's just lethal with it. If you have some way to stop them, then the Niners could have got that win. On the defensive side, though, I'm pretty sure everyone did not bad. Everyone did pretty good. You had so many forced fumbles, though. Holy crap. You had one from Kawan Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had one from is it Devin Jones, is it?
DJ Jones.
DJ Jones, yeah. You had one from DJ Jones. Then you had one from Nick Bosa. You had one from Aziz. So you had 4 overall. That was amazing for their defensive line. But I just think their secondary was just not really holding up, and especially the special teams. Special teams, I think they're overrated in the NFL. This is my statement. Special teams play one of the biggest parts in the football. Like, if you know football, you know that special teams are there. Like,
I love special teams.
Yeah, they can get you points on the board. Like, Minnesota Miracle.
Minneapolis Miracle.
No, Minnesota. Sorry.
Music City Miracle.
No, I'm talking about the Giants against the Eagles game where Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, that was a miracle at the Meadowlands.
Meadowland Miracle when Deshaun Jackson roared back. Kick return of the year.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago, sir.
Of the century. So, special teams are one of the biggest.
Century's only been happening for like 21 years. How can you determine if it's the.
Okay. Special teams have been one of the biggest parts of the NFL. They get you points on the board in crunch time decisions. You have people like Cordell Patterson, Devin Hester, who made teams win over special teams. And Marcus Shields. I'll leave his name in there.
Marcus Sherrills,
yeah. He did some good kick return touchdowns. He won a game because of it. So I'm just saying, special teams are overhated, and Niners lost because of it, really. Because if that fake punt never happened, if there was never no muff kicks, bad punts, then they wouldn't have lost the game purely based on that.
The next week, also special teams played a role because the Bengals special teams, they were trash. This guy, what's in Darius Phillips with 2 fumbled punts. That's not good. There was nearly 3 fumbled punts. That is not right. You have to hold on to the ball, keep it wrapped up tight. He had bad returns for 12, 18 yards. Then he fumbled back-to-back punt. There was that taunting penalty by Von Bell of the Cincinnati Bengals that set up a touchdown. It was just a big mess, big dusty crust mess. I was getting vaccinated the day before, so I was not feeling too good. It was also raining outside, and the 49ers, they scored, and they gave that, they missed, they drove all the way down the field in the fourth quarter to try to get into field goal range. They got into field goal range, and then Robbie Gould missed a kick. That was unfortunate. Then in overtime...
Yeah, they need a new kicker. Let's be honest, Luke.
Yeah, Robbie Gould is 40 years old. He's out of
here. Get him out of here. Let's just be honest. And I think the Niners almost lost this game based on their run game. Their run game is not there. Jeff Wilson, let's be honest, Jeff Wilson's not the guy. Debo Samuel did awesome. He scored another rushing touchdown. When he's scoring rushing touchdowns, you're winning games because of it. George Kittle got yet another 100-plus yard, 151 yards on 3 receptions and then a touchdown. That's the reason why you're going to win. When George Kittle is shredding through that small secondary, like, Eli Apple's not going to stop you. Maybe Von Bell. Von Bell's amazing. He got 2 pass deflections and 5 tackles. But you're not going to get anybody else on that secondary. That secondary is, in my opinion, horrendous. They have so many familiar names, but they're just not good. They're either old or they're small. Like, besides Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates is one of the best I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing. The 49ers get that field goal in overtime to be down 23-20, and then Brandon Ayuk, they just zoomed down the field. Brandon Ayuk caught the pass for 12 yards and leapt into the end zone.
That's what the Niners need to do to make the playoffs, honestly. You got to be aggressive. They showed aggressive in that last drive. They should have shown that aggression all game. And when they showed that aggression, they scored in an instant. Like, bow. Brandon Ayuk finally showed his speedster abilities, and they got that win.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're getting closer to where we are last week.
Last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Would you like to speak on this game, Marcus?
Well, Falcons was just – that game was really good for them. Matt Ryan came out sacked 3 times. He got fumbled once. And then the only score they ever got was from Russell Gage. That was 91 yards. You could blame it really on the secondary because the secondary, they didn't have their best game. Josh Norman, he didn't get any pass deflections. He was getting pass deflections all year long. That was one he did not do great on. Then you had Ward. He didn't have a great game. Honestly, I thought the wide receivers and Kyle Pitts did amazing that game for the Falcons. You had Russell Gage and Kyle Pitts both going over 50 yards, and I think that really paid off for them. I just think their run game is horrendous. Like, if Cordell Patterson's not dropping over 2 touchdowns, Falcons aren't going to win that game. So besides that, you could focus more on the Niners side. Niners did amazing. Jeff Wilson got a score over 100 yards. Debo Samuel got another rushing score. That's his third. George Kittle caught all of his receptions, and then Jimmy G actually was spot on. He went 18 for 23 in a touchdown. No turnovers. His quarterback rating was 123. That was one of the highest among the league. So I think overall they did awesome that game. And especially Robbie Gould, his kicking was on point. He went 4 for 4 and then 1 to 1. And they got the points on the board. They had a flawless offensive game. And their defensive line did all right. So that's the reason why they're getting wins. That's why they're moving Falcons out of the way. And that's why Falcons is no longer a contender. So now the only contenders in the playoffs really are the Saints, Washington, and Philadelphia. So Philadelphia and Washington play today. One's going to be eliminated from really contending because they're going to be 2 games down. So at the end of this, there's either going to be 2 contenders for the Niners spot. And I think Niners this season have been one of the best.
Yes.
And I think this paid off. The running game has been on. They utilize. They get the big receivers on. George Kittle, we've proven. is statistics are paying off for the reasons why they're winning. Their special teams, when they play good, they're winning games. And then finally, their defensive line, when they're all getting tackles, they're all getting wins. Luke, do you have any last words to how you feel about the Niners? And more of a question is, how far do you think they're going in the playoffs?
Well, right now, I believe that who they would play in the playoffs are the... I believe that they play the Cardinals right now, in if the season ended today, at least. So, if they play the Cardinals, I'm not that afraid of the Cardinals after what I saw from them when they lost to the Detroit Lions. And they lost to the Green Bay Packers, who I think the 49ers could also beat, even though they lost to them earlier. But, yeah, the 49ers, they would play the... It would be Rams versus Cardinals. 49ers play Buccaneers. I think the 49ers could beat the Buccaneers, even though they are the Super Bowl champions. They just lost to the Saints. The Saints are also looking in the playoffs. That kind of proved to me that there are not really that many elite teams. Packers are probably the best team. Cowboys, they're not really going to be... If they make the playoffs, they're probably not going to go far. There's not really anyone that you could say right now is a Super Bowl contender. There's pretty much anyone. The 49ers could very well make it to the Super Bowl, but I don't really think... I think they're going to probably make it one round. They're going to win the first round. At least right now, it's against the Buccaneers. But I think they'll play the Buccaneers, beat them. Then they would... I believe they would end up just playing the winner of Cardinals-Rams, and whoever that may be... I'll say Cardinals doing that one. I think they're going to lose to the Cardinals in the second round. So that's what I see. 49ers, they have upcoming on their schedule Titans on Thursday, then next Sunday against Houston, then Sunday after that one against the Rams. That game against the Rams could be some have some big playoff implications. The game against the Texans doesn't really mean much. It's good team versus trash team. And the Titans, that could mean a lot for the AFC playoff picture because the Titans are in the AFC South looking around, seeing that the Colts are on their tail. The 49ers, I don't think that they're going to... I think the 49ers win that one. I think they're going to beat the Texans, and I think they lose to the Rams. So that's what I say, 2-1.
Luke, I wanted to bring this up to the podcast.
Oh.
I was thinking maybe we should call one of the Niners' last final games.
Huh, what the hell?
Because we seem to know a lot about the Niners' teams with the defensive side, with the offensive side. We could utilize that and bring it into one of the games. So that is an idea to keep in mind if you've been listening to this whole podcast. So make sure to look out for one of those. I think Tennessee game is more of an implication for since the Rams game because Niners need wins now, and if they get this win, they're pretty much locking themselves at a spot because you're taking out one of the hugest AFC contenders, and you're putting yourself in as a lock for the second seed in the wild card area. So I just think Tennessee's going to be a huge game on Thursday at 5:20. Make sure to watch out for that one. Against Houston, that's pretty much a free game. You're going against Davis Mills and company. So besides that, Niners – good season. My final prediction for them, if they – I don't think they'll win against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll win out because right now they're 8-6. I don't see them really going 11-6.
10-7 sounds about right.
10-7 sounds about good, and I think 10-7 is my lock for them. Niners fans, get excited. You're going to the playoffs. I feel you going to the playoffs. I don't think new Saints or Washington football team are going to take you over. Yeah. And right now, if you finish right now, you're going to Tampa Bay, and that's the best case scenario, I think. If you're a Niners fan, go against Tom Brady. He's a fraud.
Oh, wow.
Without Mike Godwin or... why did I say Mike Godwin and Chris Evans? No, without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin winning games. So that'll wrap it up for the Rain Delay podcast. We just talked about the Niners for 16 weeks, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And that was a fun podcast. I think I would love to do a final wrap-up. So. Send positive results.
Okay, should I go on mute and let you... preach the word?
I'll preach the words. This Sunday, we have the Niners against the Tennessee Titans. And if you're a Niners fan, you know you're going to have to win this week. You're going to have to prove why your team is
going to win. It's on Thursday.
Oh, on Thursday, sorry. So, Niners fans, go against... I think you would be excited. Don't be scared if you're going against Tampa Bay first round. Because Tampa Bay are frauds. You have Tom Brady, who can't even work without some of his top threats. And I think that goes for all... quarterbacks, but it's Tom Brady. People think he got shut out by the Saints. That was the first time in 100 plus games. So Niners fans, if you bring the aggression on the defensive side and make sure to double up on big guys like Mike Evans, then you're going to win the game. Stay proud. Bang, bang, Niner game, and I'll see y'all later. Thanks for listening to the Rain Delay podcast.
Enjoy bang, bang, Niner gang.
And go 49ers.